Hi, I'm Haley, author of the book blog Brook and Binding.
And I'm Maddie, upcoming debut author of Take My Sunshine coming winter 2024. And this is
Lit Sis.
Hey, Mad.
Yeah, Haley.
Don't you have an Instagram?
I do have an Instagram. You can see all that I'm reading at Maddie Reads a Lot.
M-A-D-D-Y,
that
right?
That's right, M-A-D-D-Y.
And then don't you have another one?
I do. I do have a new Instagram that you can follow me for all of my author things at @EmmyGlenz_author.
@EmmyGlenz_author. I love it. I also have an Instagram.
Ooh, yes. Would you like to share?
It's Brook and Binding.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to see anything about Lit Sis itself, you can find information about Lit Sis at Lit Sis Podcast on Instagram as well.
Go check them out.
Okay, guys, here's a little throwback episode. And we thought, Haley and I did, that since it is so close to the end of the year, it'd be fun to listen to an old Best Books Of episode. So here is the one from 2022. You're not convincing anybody. But what's hilarious is before you even started saying anything, I thought to myself, like, we should be like a
drum roll.
It is the time of year where we bring you the last Lit Sis episode of the year.
Crazy.
It's time for our Best Books of 2022. But I love that we both were in a musical mindset where you decided to do our theme song.
Mm-hmm. I felt it. I was feeling it.
Hey, who wrote that theme song?
Me.
Oh, really? Who recorded that theme song?
You did, but I wrote it down. I mean, I played
it. You played it, yeah.
Yeah.
On the piano. Where is that piano?
Beats me.
Anyway. We are here to talk to you guys about the best books of 2022. We are here in person together in a non-moving vehicle. You should not hear any extra noise. And we're here to bring it to you right now. And as we've done this with years previous, so best book of 2022 episode, all the best books episodes have to be books that were written in the year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's books that were written in 2022. Well, published in 2022. They were written earlier. Books came out in 2022 that we read and we loved, and then we are allowed a non-specific amount of honorable mentions for books that we read this year that did not come out this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, you know, we do a top five. So I have my top five from 2022, and I have four honorable mentions. Haley?
I have three with one that's a question.
One that's a question?
One that I'm not sure if I want to talk. Okay, so that's the thing. My, this is my thing. My top five don't all have 5 stars.
Interesting.
So I'm sitting here thinking, do I need to go back through? I think I need to go back through and maybe look at ones I gave 5 stars, but I don't want to go off of, I don't want to go against what I...
But you're feeling.
Because
you know what? You rate them. You rate them as you finish it. But later, you know, you might think that the book was actually, you enjoyed it better. You thought about the themes more and reflected on it more.
Mm-hmm. I gave a lot of 4 stars, though. We talked about this. I don't have a ton of 5 stars.
Did you put any of your top 5 as a 3-star?
No, they're all 4 or 5 stars.
4 or 5. You know, it's whatever you feel comfortable doing.
Okay.
Do you think that you would change your rating to those 4 stars to 5 stars?
Maybe one of them I might.
Huh, interesting. Fascinating. You are welcome to do whatever you want.
Okay. So, for top 5, I think, do we want to go from, like, our 5th to our number 1?
You know, I don't have them ranked. We normally do it, I think, as we read them through the year.
Okay. Let's do it, then.
Which is how I have mine listed.
Okay, great.
Or I can try and rank them really quickly to a number 1 and a number 5.
Okay, let's do that.
Do that? So you want me to do number 5 first?
Sure.
Okay. So
not in the order we read them in the year.
Mm-mm.
this is like how we have rated them in our own minds.
I'm going to give my number 5 to Black Cake by Charmaine.
Man, you really like this book.
Yeah, Charmaine Wilkerson. I really did like it. I read it in a single day.
Wow.
I'm giving it my number 5 slot out of, I mean, by the time that this episode comes out, hopefully by the end of the year, I will have read 85 books. Right now, I've read 83. So number 5 out of 83, that's a really solid spot to be at. Charmaine, you did a great job. I just thought that the characters were so well thought out. I loved the background of the characters. I loved the history that we delve into and the emotional connection between the characters and their mom. And I think that anytime that there's a story of a parent that has a secretive past that they have hidden, it's always interesting to learn about it. And especially because their mom was just so sweet. And I just wish that, I don't know, the connections and the friendships and the family connections that were in the book were just really spectacular. I thought that she did a really good job. And I think it was a debut. So she did an amazing job for a debut. So really big fan of just the whole book.
I'm not sure if it's a debut.
Yeah,
look at that. Yeah, so she's got a lot of exciting future writings, hopefully.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm guessing Black Cake was like her baby. So I'm interested to see what she comes up with next. But I really did thoroughly enjoy it. It was such a quick read, and it really like sucked me in and spat me out a better person.
Wow, that's crazy. That's how I felt with Midnight Library.
Yeah,
spat me out a better person.
Midnight Library is so good.
Okay, so my number 5, I think I'm gonna have to say, I'm going to say A River Enchanted by Rebecca Ross.
Is that a 5-star?
This was a 4-star.
Interesting.
I wanted to throw something in. A lot of mine are, surprise, thrillers that I liked this year. But I wanted to throw in something that also was a genre that was not a thriller. And so I really, really enjoyed this fantasy novel. I really thought that Rebecca Ross did an excellent job with creating a world that was easy to get into and understand and kind of like say yes to, be like, yep, okay, I get this. This is easy. This makes sense. Like I wasn't left confused as to how the magic worked. I wasn't like trying to piece things together as I was reading. She did a really good job of laying it out for you. And I obviously liked it enough that, I got the second one in my book of the month from November as, or no, December? Anyway, November or December December, like an add-on. Yeah, I got it as an add-on because I was so excited because...
Fire Endless? What is it?
I think that's what it's called.
Oh, look at me go!
Wow. Yeah, so I really enjoy fantasy, and I think that it's a... I think that is a genre that there's this like stereotype about it that it's like, oh, it's just for nerds. Yeah, Fire Endless. It's just for nerds. But honestly, like there's so much depth to it as well. And it's not just about the magic part. Like it's not like a Sarah J. Maas or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like where it's just like all this. I mean, I've never read her stuff, but like stuff that's like all this creature, like fantasy people. It's not like a Lord of the Rings where it's like a journey or whatever. It's like fantasy also includes like it can include people like that seem fairly normal and have like everyday life, but there's like a special element to them or whatever. Like I would say Harry Potter is like a fantasy series.
I love Harry Potter.
But people wouldn't say, oh, that's so, maybe they do, so nerdy to like Harry Potter. Because it's just so culturally relevant.
Because the Wizarding World exists within our own world.
Yeah, so that's helpful. So with River Enchanted, she creates this world where it's a normal world, but there's like a special island off this coast. And the island is where the magic is. And there's
kind of like Spells for Forgetting a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Like there is this area that like this is where people live and they're a little different. They're a little creepy and they've got some magic here. So I think that is something about that. Like, I loved the separation. Like, the main character, which I've told this before, but, like, the main character, he went to the mainland to study music and do all these things, but then he gets called back to the island to like help do something. We don't have the rights for you to sing that. Anyway, so he gets called back and it's kind of like a coming home story, and he's trying to figure out like what all has changed in my world and what's going on and like how's my mom doing and how's that girl that I used to pick on all the time and where's that guy that was my friend that we did some like camp training
with.
They're
all dead.
No. But anyway, so it's like he's coming back to this world that he's familiar with, but he's been gone for like quite a few years. So that's, it's just really interesting. So I kind of wanted to bring up something like fantasy in my top five to bring that representation of like, hey, this is also really well written and really good characters and just sucked me in. It doesn't have to be like a murder. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something else that's non-murder related.
That's not murdery.
Can suck me in. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a go sometime.
Give it a go.
So my number four was A Quiet Life by Ethan Joella.
Oh, you just read that.
Which I legitimately just read.
That's crazy.
So my thing for Ethan Joella is that he takes... I was just talking to one of our friends about this today because she's read the book as well. What he does is he just takes thoughts that I have in my brain and he puts them down in a book. Like these like kind of like melancholy thoughts that I have to myself sometimes, or just these like reflective thoughts. He just is like, let me like see what it would be like if I wrote a book surrounding reflective melancholy thoughts about loss. And it's like, oh, Ethan.
Oh, Ethan. Ethan. You're like my spirit animal.
But legitimately, he... takes, so it's a story of three individuals, one of whom is an older gentleman whose wife just recently passed away, and he's facing their his first year without her, and they normally go down to like Hilton Head. They live in Pennsylvania, Hilton Head, for like a few months in the winter time. And he's facing the first time having to go on that trip without her. Unsure if he can do it. And then there's a young mom whose daughter was taken. And she is waiting and waiting to see if she will ever be reunited with her again. And then another younger girl who is grieving with the loss of her dad, who was killed as a as in a consequence for a convenience store robbery. He just kind of got in the middle of things and was killed. And she has to deal with the fact that with the grief that she feels. And they all kind of become interconnected in a way. And it just also was a beautiful testament and story of like humanity and like the kindness that we can do for each other, and the kind actions that we can express to one another, especially while others are also dealing with different types of loss. And so I love that the story looks at grief in three different ways. It also looks at redemption. It looks at like the thoughts of, you know, how you're not really alone in all of it. And it's backdropped around Christmas time in early January. And so it's the perfect time to read it. But I read a paragraph to Haley that I was like, this is how my brain works, for like the mom whose daughter was missing. She was like in, she was talking about like, she was just talking and she was saying like, it's crazy to think that like nobody knows what going on with my life. Like she's like, the people who see me at the grocery store picking out stuff, they don't realize that my daughter is missing. And they could be going through their own things and I would have no idea. And I think about that stuff all the time where I'm like, man, that person over there, like what if they're going through a really hard time and I have no idea, or like I'm going through a really bad day and like nobody else knows that, like strangers don't understand like what is going on in your life and I have no idea. The person that cut me off in traffic is hurrying to get to the hospital because their, you know, parent is potentially passing away, or like I don't know if the person that yelled at me for, you know, bumping into them just found out that their wife was diagnosed with cancer. Like it's things like that that like help you become more, you know, understanding and more of a better human. And I don't know, it just like made me feel very reflective. I liked it a lot.
That's awesome.
Okay. You should read his books.
We'll see. Okay, so my number four is a 4-star.
What?
And this is The It Girl by Ruth Ware.
Oh, you put it in your top five as a 4-star.
Yeah, I did, because I just feel like it stood out to me because I love Ruth Ware. But it stood out to me just because the dark academia element, and I really did enjoy just diving into her writing again and being in her mind. And we talked about this in our review that you guys can listen to if you want, but of how different and lengthy this book was than like One by One, for example, where it's like, this isn't just like plot, action, let's go. This was like, let's build a world, let's build characters, let's give them background information.
It was really good. I don't even know why I only gave it 4 stars. Oh, I know why. Yeah. I didn't like the explanation.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of like the ending, which is why I'm kind of like eh on the 4 star. Some of my 5 stars, I think, were not from this year. So I think that's why where I'm coming from here. But with the It Girl, I feel like the overall premise was really interesting. The characters were interesting. Like the concept of like, there was this amazing girl that like everyone loved and adored, but she had secrets that people didn't know. And it's like, what happened to her, and did like the main character, did she see what she really saw? And she's starting to question herself, stuff like that. So I thought it was really interesting. There were some elements to it, which is why I didn't give it 5, that I thought were a little bit lacking or a little bit unnecessary, or, you know, just wasn't like my favorite. But overall, I feel like out of the books that I've read, it was something to be talked about, especially since it came out in this year.
And yeah, I thought it was really good as well. I like when Ruthford does a little bit more of like a mystery investigative style.
I really
style.
Like the mystery. She does a good job mystery. She does a good job thriller.
She does.
But I love when she's a little more sleuthy. Like, I feel like that's going, like,
kind
we talked
of like
about
Woman
that.
In Cabin 10.
Yeah, I think we talked about sleuthy. That in our review too, of like when we were ranking her books, of like, we love when she has like this character that's on a mission to discover this stuff and like has these things all laid out and is like, oh, I have to go interview this character next, and like, I wonder if this person knows something. So that's kind of how this one was, and I liked that.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so moving into my number 3, I don't even know if you have this on your list. I don't know, did you forget about it? I don't know. The House Across the Lake by Riley Sager.
Oh,
did you forget about it?
No.
Oh, no. Okay, so I loved House Across the Lake. One of my favorites. I don't remember where I ranked it. Did I put it as number 1?
I think you said it was your either second. Number 1 or number 2. I think you said it as number 1 because you usually say Final Girls as your number 1.
Yeah, but then I
changed it. So I think you did give it the number 1
spot. I think
spot
I maybe
for
did.
I think because I was surprised because I kept my Riley spot.
Yeah. I don't know what I did with it. Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway, I really, really thoroughly loved this book. I loved it from the beginning. I didn't want to put it down. I had to, though, because I was on a little trip. But then when I finally had a chance to, like, actually, like, sit down and, like, read it, it just was so captivating. I truly did not see the twist coming. There's kind of, like, There's one twist that there's no way you could see coming. Mm-hmm, no way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's another twist that's kind of associated with that I really didn't see coming whatsoever. And I was like, that was nice. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
He definitely covered his tracks.
He did. He did a really good job of covering his tracks. He did a really good job of, like, if you go into it, I'm sure if I went into it reading again, I could spot what I needed to see to make sense with it. Because it doesn't not make sense. I was, like, thinking back, and I was like, oh, I guess that makes sense. Like, there was certain wording that he used that fit with the full story he was trying to tell. I just thought that the story was so in-depth. It was, like, one of the most more, like, complex or complicated books that he's written. And I just think that because it was so complex, it provided, like, a more mature story to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just a retelling of Rear Window. He really did spin it to be
its own thing.
And it was so enjoyable. And my favorite thriller of the year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive. I really liked it as well. I will tell you where it ranks later.
Ooh.
So my number 3 is one that I'm debating on giving a 5-star, but I think it's a 4.5 if I haven't specifically given it that, is Daisy Darker.
I knew it. Ugh.
Alice Feeney.
It's so good.
Okay, so
I gave it 4-star as well. I can't remember why we didn't give it 5.
I gave it 4-star because I guessed the big twist. But I wasn't mad about it.
I know, me either.
And then I felt like the ending, the more I sit with it and I think about it, the more I think, okay, I'm okay with this ending.
I think I knew one of the things I knew I didn't like was, like, they were always, like, watching those videotapes.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a really weird way to, like, bring up. They should have maybe just had a talk conversation or something.
Yeah, there were some elements that when we did our review, we did go into depth and discuss a little bit more as to things we liked and disliked. But overall, when I'm looking back at the year and I think of that book, I think of something positive. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's, again, it's like a mystery. But there is a little bit of, like, scare to it, but it is a lot more of, like, what actually happened, and,
you jinxed me. Sorry.
Maddie yawned. Mm-hmm. But I think the element of, surprise that I figured out, there was still a deeper level to it that I had not figured out. And so that was cool, where it's like, oh, I think I kind of figured this out. And it's like, oh, you have, but not to the extent that you realize.
Hey, remember that one part?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So it's so good. I think it was definitely worth being in the top. And Alice Feeney has become someone that I very much enjoy.
She's so good. One scene still sits with me.
Yeah. And I liked the ending, too. The very, very ending. I think it had a good full circle moment with the beginning of the novel and like the way that the characters wrap up. Like, after a while, I was like at first I was like, meh, but the longer I've sat with it, the more I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it makes a lot of sense when you are looking at the darker family as a whole and not pinpointing towards anybody specific, looking towards any specific character. It's like, oh, that fits with everybody.
For sure.
All right. So my number 2 is Carrie Soto is Back.
Ooh, by Taylor there's Jenkins something Reed. That you liked better than Carrie Soto.
I know. I was back and forth about it. Wow. But so I loved Carrie Soto is Back. I loved it. I loved it so much. I love the way that Taylor Jenkins Reid crafts a story. I love the way that she sculpts characters as if they're real people. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she does it.
Me either.
I need her expertise.
She's like an Anthony Doerr a little bit.
Yeah, I would say so.
In a different way, but as in, like, this is a story. My name's just on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Versus instead of, like, I have crafted this myself and you can like tell it just, I wrote this. Like, it's like, this just exists.
Yeah, it just feels like she, I don't know, it just feels like she discovered it. She discovered the book and she discovered the story and she interviewed the people.
The people and then
ta-da. And then she was like, boom, these are real people. Just the absolute beautiful depth, of the characters and their relationships. And there's so much motive. Like, everybody has a great motive and a motivation in life. And there's, you know, there's difficulties between the characters. So, like, there are times when, like, you know, everything's not working out peachy keen between Carrie and her dad. And even though it's frustrating, it's like, it's real life. Like, you can have falling out with people. You can have reunions with people. Like, it didn't feel as much as, like, I was expecting, like, oh, this is a sport-based story about a comeback, blah, blah, blah. It's probably going to be very predictable. As much as I was, like, anticipating certain things to happen, there was still so much that I had no idea was coming. And that's just kind of how real life is. Like, there was a character that was introduced that I didn't think was ever going to have anything to do with the story. And ended up being a very valuable character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's just so many parts of it that, like, this is actually one that I really wish would become a movie.
Yeah.
Of hers.
It would be really interesting.
I think it'd be a really good movie.
I can't wait to see Daisy Jones
and the Six TV show. January? I think. I don't know. I can look it up.
I'm excited to see how this is her first adaptation or not.
It is. It is the first.
But didn't her True Loves or something?
Oh, that's on Netflix.
That
yes.
was a TV show.
Oh, sorry. March 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah, One True Loves, I think, is a movie or a TV show.
I'm trying to think if that was her first.
That must have been her first because I think this is out. No, it's in post-production.
Oh, it's not even out yet.
It's not even out yet.
So she has 2 movies or TV shows that are coming out of her works at the same time. So we'll see how her stories translate to the screen and if we are happy with it or if we're not happy.
All I have to say is I really honestly don't think I want a Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo movie or TV show or anything.
I think it would be interesting. Like, I could see it as, like, a TV show, like a limited series.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, each episode is a different husband, maybe. That would be interesting.
That would be interesting. But it would have to be, like, to the T exactly the same way that the book is.
Yeah.
They cannot change anything. Like, they cannot change anything. That's the only way I'd be able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But yes, Carrie Soto is back.
Number two.
Wonderful book. My number two.
Okay, so my number two, House Across the Lake, Riley Sager. Woo!
Yeah. Then I think I know what your number one is.
I feel like I just have to say Carrie Soto.
Yeah.
Carrie Soto. Those are my top two that were 5 stars. And honestly, we've raved about them so much this year. We have reviews for each of them individually, like book reviews. So please go back and you can totally listen to those and hear us rant and rave about how much we loved them.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Carrie Soto, I stole your thunder with those two.
Okay. Carrie Soto is me. So if you ever want to know me on a deeper level, read Carrie Soto. And I really loved Riley so much. Like, House Across the Lake, I just love his writing. And I love Rear Window anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the depth, and like, there is some like kind of sci-fi fantasy-ish stuff about that book too, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some like just that's not even paranormal. It's like fantasy-ish
fantasy
stuff that happens. I loved that element as well, too. It kind of just, like, brought an extra spook factor to, like, the creepy woods and the lake mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So, I loved both of those. Those are my top two books of the year.
Yeah, those are really
good. What's your number one, then?
So, my number one is Book Lovers.
Oh, I knew it! I forgot about Emily Henry.
By Emily Henry.
I saw this book. That is the one I knew for sure. I was sitting there. I was going through my thing, and I was like, she's going to have Emily Henry in here. She's going to have Book Lovers for sure. And I just completely forgot while we were recording.
I love Emily Henry's Book Lovers. It's so good. I like it better than Beach Read. Okay, I'm just going to give the bullet points as to why Book Lovers is so good. One.
Is this your Cersei?
No.
Okay.
I don't even know if I have a Cersei.
Okay.
Fine. Well, I don't know if there's a book that I love so much that you absolutely dislike. Is there?
I didn't really like Book Lovers.
Yeah, but I don't like, I really didn't like Cersei.
Okay. We'll have to think about that. Do you have a Cersei? That'd be a good
question. I'm not sure. I'm sure that I've had one at some point, but Book Lovers, why it's so good. Boom. Book stuff. Has book stuff in it. Mm-hmm. So that's a great part. Two, cute little town in North Carolina that's spunky and quirky. Three, also takes place somewhat in New York City. New York City's the best. Four, I'm saving the best for last. Four, cute little character interactions, kind of steamy. Five, Charlie's adorable. Six, Haley is Nora. Seven, sisters.
Sisters. I do like the sister element. Can't say that.
I know, I can't.
I like the sister element. I will say that.
Sisters!
I'm telling you, though, I want you to read The Hating Game. Please read The Hating
Whatever.
Game.
Book Lovers.
Are we going to do January?
Well, I guess I'm kind of like Nora.
If I'm going to do a January
We're both rec, Nora.
If I'm doing a January rec for you, it's going to be Hating Game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at all these books that you think that are amazing, and I'm going to find books that I think are better, and then you're going to have to read them, and then you're going to have to tell me which one is better.
No, it's going to be Book Lovers. You know why? Because I know The Hating Game is going to be a stereotypical, like, enemies to lovers thing. And Book Lovers...
But it's so cute!
But Book Lovers is so much better because of the depth of the characters. I always say this, but the characters are so deep. The relationship between Nora and her sister is the best part of the entire book. I liked it more than the romance. It's to me, Book Lovers is more of a general, like, fiction book that has love in it. Okay.
Maybe that's why I didn't like it.
Maybe that's why. Maybe you were like, where's the cute cheesy stuff? And
no,
I was just like,
where's the romance?
Emotional connection with my sister.
That could be.
It made me cry.
Okay.
Carrie Soto also made me cry. So my top two books made me cry.
All right. Well, now that we've moved on, congratulations on your Book Lovers, love.
Thank you.
I have three. I think I'm going to stop at three. Honorable mentions. But really quick, let's just honorably mention Upgrade. I feel like that
so
needs
good.
To be like acknowledged. That was a great read from this year. It was a 2022. It didn't make either of our top five, but I do feel like, hey, that was really good.
Yeah, it's worth talking about for sure.
I have Oh, also, One Italian Summer was came out this year.
Yes, I did not mention One Italian Summer because it was a 4-star.
Mm-hmm, but that was also a really good one. And I think everything else came out in other years that we're going to be talking about. But those are ones that I thought were so good and so fun. And
I loved One Italian Summer.
Also, I really liked The No-Show by Beth O'Leary. That came out this year.
You gave that 5 stars.
Yeah, it was very emotional. It had a lot of depth to it. So
depth is the word of the day.
Depth is the word. But yeah, so the rest of the books we're going to talk about are books that came out not in 2022.
Mm-mm.
So, but they're books we did read this year. So I have 3 that I would just wanted to bring up really quick. And then I know you have 4.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So I'll go first since I have more. Starting with a non-traditional route of favorite books of the year, I'm going with The Body Keeps the Score by Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, which is nonfiction all about, he is a psychiatrist and it's all about like the study of the brain and your brain through trauma and your brain through different therapies. And it was very, very good. I read it in January because January is like the time I always read these like health books. And it was so good. And I gave it to you to borrow and you haven't read it yet, but that's fine.
I think I
whatever.
Gave it back to you.
Did you really? How dare you? But it was just so good.
I want to read it.
It is so good.
It might be even in the house.
You might find it very interesting now that you're really into neurology.
That could be.
Yeah.
I think it sounds interesting, but I think I returned it to you when I moved because I didn't want to get lost.
Could be. But I love Body Keeps the Score. It goes very much into the scientific element of the brain.
I do like that.
It's very, very good.
I probably would like that.
So I just wanted to highlight it because I really enjoyed it, but it did not come out in 2022. It came out in 2014.
Okay, so I'm going to go backwards in my years. I'm going to start pretty far and do Anomaly by Michael Rutger.
Ooh.
That came out in 2018, and I gave it 4
you borrowed that from
or
me.
4.5 stars. This book, I feel like mad set up for me to not like, but I was intrigued by it.
I just wasn't a fan at the time.
But I thought the story overall was super creative. The ending was really interesting. The way that it all shaped up was like so, so unique. And like the explanation of stuff, like I still can like see some of those descriptions and images in my head when I think about the book. Definitely is not like a normal, like standard horror, like you would think, like, oh, we're trapped and, you know, like bats are flying around and we're stuck in here and we're losing oxygen and we can't find our way out. Like, there are some of those elements, but, like, there's so much more to it as well.
Yeah,
it's not just, like, people turning on people either. Like, there's something else that's happening in the cave, too. So, it's interesting. Really, really liked it, obviously, and wanted to give that a little shout out.
So, my next honorable mention is The Paper Palace by Miranda Cowley Heller.
Obsessed.
I am obsessed.
It's a good one.
I'm not going to deny it. So Paper Palace, so good. I love the fact that it is looking at a family in the past and the present, going back and forth between this mom when she is in the present and back to their childhood, like place that they always cabin that they always go to, on the water, on the ocean every single year. And then paired with the hauntedness that she feels about her childhood growing up going there. And the struggles that she feels between this boy that she liked back when she was younger and him coming back into her life when she's an adult. But it's not a love triangle really in the sense of it's purely just, it feels like a beautiful literary fiction novel that does not stray away from uncomfortable topics in order to showcase a truly, I don't want to say depth again, but a truly, but a truly like, I don't know. It truly is this like well-rounded written book about these characters that feel very real and have their own traumas and have their own situations that they dealt with and how that impacts them to this day.
Yeah.
And the secrets that they share between all of that. It's very good. I loved it so much. I read it in nearly an entire night. It's just a very, very good book. So well written. And the fact is like, it between the past and the present, when you're in the present, it also is like counting down time, like about a 24-hour period. So it's showing the time. And so like, it's very quick to read. I don't know how else to describe it. It's very good. I asked for it for Christmas and I got it, even though I've already read it, but now I own my own copy of Paper Palace. It's so good. I don't remember. You read it. And what did you think of it?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. There are some elements I did not like and some elements I really didn't like. So, all right. So another one I want to do, going again back in time of like the oldest to the newest book, is a 2020 book, which I think you have on your list, His and Hers, Alice Feeney.
Yes, it is.
That was a 5-star, and I will tell you guys, it's amazing.
When did His and Hers come out?
2020.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to say when Paper Palace came out.
I think that was 2021.
Was it 2021? Was it that recent?
Mm-hmm.
Here, you keep talking, and I'll find
it. Okay, so His and Hers is about this... It's about
2021.
Without giving away too much, it's about this case that happens in this small town.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's so good.
You have like a detective's perspective, and you have this like journalist perspective. And the way that Alice Feeney writes it is like she kind of like keeps information hidden from you until she feels the need to drop it randomly in a paragraph or something, or just give it to you and you're like, wait, what? And it starts to really shape and form how you're viewing the story and the world as a whole and the situation as a whole. And so it's about this girl who winds up dead, but it's this kind of like the start of multiple murders that occur. And so the detective and the journalist are not really teamed up together. They're kind of doing their own thing. But you get both of their perspectives and stuff like that. So super, super well done. There's all these really interesting connections. And the ending is like, like perfect. Like, it's just so,
it is so good.
It is so good. But yes, definitely needed to highlight that, because I just thought that, yeah, that was...
That's on my honorable mention as well, after you told me to read it. And so I did. And it was... I remember texting you and being like... this thing just happened on page 10, and I was like, and it is, it's very good. It's nice because what she does is she'll like slip in a kind of partial truth situation. And so you'll be reading something, and then she'll just slip in like something that is true, but not the whole explanation, which leaves you being like, wait, so how is this connected? Mm-hmm. How is this all related? Like, it's so good. And I agree with you. Like, the ending was really ideal. I enjoyed kind of it was kind of a thrillery whodunit situation, but also like it feels like you are figuring it out as everybody else is figuring it out almost.
Yeah.
And you're right. There's multiple killings that happen, and one of them stays in your brain for a long time.
Oh yeah.
It's terrifying.
Okay. Do you want me to be my last one?
You can do your last one, and then I can do my last one.
Okay, I've already raved about this book. I need to, like, change my rating.
I know you're going to say.
Is History of Wild Places. Yeah.
Did it come out this year?
Yeah, no, 2021.
Okay.
History of Wild Places by Shay Earnshaw. I do need to. It's only a 3.5-star.
When did it come out?
2021.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I gave it 3.5 stars, but that's still pretty solid. I think it's because it's a little slow-moving. It's not like this happens and this and then this. It's very psychological and slow. Like, think about like The Village, the movie, The Village, the horror movie. Have you seen that?
I have not. Have you?
Okay. So it's like, it's okay. So what it is there's like a town in the middle of a woods that believe that everything outside of their woods has been ruined. Like, the world is gone. It's kind of cultish.
Gotcha.
And they, like... Oh, it's hard to explain. I don't want to say anything too crazy, but, like, they can't go past their border because they believe they're going to get this specific sickness and illness. And people have died from leaving the woods. And
this is The Village you're still describing.
No, this is the book.
This is the book.
Okay, yeah, this is the book. The Village. So The Village is also like, there's a cult in this little town or whatever. Okay. And like, people try to escape and this stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's similar, where it's like random people in the woods have this really weird view and way of living that's out, and they think that they're okay. It's kind of like Midsummer, but not.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's like that slow moving. Movie. Yeah, it's slow moving, but it's very thought provoking, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the ending is super well done, and I think it's really beautiful how it all
is it unravels. A horror book or a fantasy?
Nope. It's like a literary fiction, like a drama.
Oh, okay.
And there's just these elements of mystery and a little bit of like, I don't even want to say it because I don't want to give it away. But I really, 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 really highly recommend it. I am like so tempted to just go like change my rating because I cannot speak highly enough of this book. There's obviously reasons why I gave it lower stars. So I probably should like go back through mm-hmm. and see why I did at the time. But it is a book that obviously has stuck with me and the memory of it has been really solid that I've brought it up multiple times. So excellent, excellent, excellent. And I will be getting her next book shortly. So all right. Go ahead, man.
All right. So my last one to talk about as my honorable mention is All the Dangerous Things by Stacey Willingham.
Oh, my.
So that book is a new release, but it was not published in 2022. It is being published in 2023.
What?
So sneaky. Didn't qualify technically for Best Books of 2022.
Oh, my.
So it gets, I think it's published on January 11th, 2023, I think is the publishing date.
You really liked 10th. This.
I did really. I gave
well, you
it,
love
I gave
it five her. Stars.
I love her writing. So I really liked All the Dangerous Things. So it's about a trigger warning for those of you who, with young children, but it's about a mom whose 18-month-old son.
Okay, bye.
is taken in the middle of the night.
That's fear. That is.
I mean, it's terrible. Why do you think I'm so strict about stuff like windows and things like that?
Terrifying.
It is so scary. And so she can, after her son goes missing, she does not sleep at all. Like, she gets, like, maybe 15 minutes of sleep every once in a while, but her body cannot rest until her son is found. And part of it is related to the fact that she didn't hear anything. She slept like a baby that whole night.
So she feels guilty.
So she feels a little bit of guilt. And so she cannot rest until she figures out what happened to him. And so she is kind of more public about it. She, like, speaks places trying to get his name out there. Then she, like, analyzes who came to the events and tries to figure out if, like, it's someone who is coming to the events because they committed the crime.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
You're drawing me in.
It's good. It is good. And then part of what is so interesting about her is that back when she was younger, something happened to someone in her family. Mm-hmm. And in the same situation, she was like fast asleep.
So she has this fear that like she isn't able to pay attention or like bad things happen while she sleeps.
Kind of. But the other thing that she freaks her out is that she never has this memory of it, but she is a very, very deep sleeper and sleepwalker.
Oh.
So when things start to happen.
She
when
stole
she,
her own baby.
I don't know. You'll have to read it to find out. But when things start to happen where she starts to question her own abilities and her own kind of innocence, then things kind of tumble from there. So she has to reconcile with the thing that happened when she was a kid as she's dealing with this thing that's happening in the present time.
Okay, that sounds good.
The connection between the two.
You have this copy?
Yes, I do. You want to take it home with you?
Sure.
Yes. All right, so
it
that
won't freak me out with my kiddos.
I don't think so. I mean, if you really feel like it won't be a good read for you, don't read
it. I think it's really interesting.
But I mean, if you want after this, I can tell you.
Okay.
I can tell you something that would alleviate your
okay,
pain.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All
right.
That's it. Man, and we, you know, I didn't read as many as I wanted to this year, but Maddie did awesome with her Goodreads this year. I'm really excited to see
Haley,
what
happens.
Haley, we're
only 2 books away each from getting our Goodreads.
I know. We can do it. But I'm saying, but like, my goal wasn't that much year. But my goal for this next year is I think I want to at least do, now this is lame, I want to at least make sure I get all of my book of the months done. So like mm-hmm. the book of that month, I want to get it done that month. I don't want to have things pile up. I need to watch how many add-ons I get because I am a sucker for the add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
I need to try to watch that. But that's my goal, is to just at least get one book a month done that I can really like dive and invest in. Ideally, I'd like to do a book a week. But with my school schedule, I just don't know for sure.
That would be 52 books a year.
I could do that.
What was your goal this 42? Year? Like 42.
But
mine was 85.
But yeah, it feels like this year was split in half. Like the preschool stuff and now the school stuff. Like I remember reading stuff earlier in the year and I was pumping stuff out and then school started and it got slower.
You know what? But I'm looking at my friends' Goodreads challenges and you know what? You're doing great. I have someone who read 100 books. That's awesome. Someone who read 15 of 40. Someone who read 67 of 65. Challenge of 20 books, read 26. Challenge of 24, someone who read 56 out of 55.
Okay, so and then there's
someone
the
I had someone who like had the challenge of surpassing 8 books and read 9.
Look at them.
You know what? And someone who read 7 out of 15. You're doing fine. Okay. You are doing fine. This person read only 6 of 22. Oof. That is rough.
Well, anyway, I think that we have done a pretty good job this year. Mm-hmm. I think this year was, like I said, had some ups and downs in the releases. There wasn't any, I feel like there were maybe like two or three things that really stood out to us as what we've already talked about. But overall it was like solid. It wasn't like amazing or like these are horrible. It was kind of like, okay, this is like a medium year.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what kind of highs and lows come for the next.
Yes. Is there any book in specific that you are looking forward to?
The new Leigh Bardugo.
Oh, really? Yeah. You know what I'm really looking forward to?
What?
Twist the Knife.
Twist the Knife! Yes, Anthony Horowitz.
I love it. Anthony, to me, is on a different level.
He's amazing.
His books are on, like, this golden pedestal. Yeah, and then there's all the other thriller and mystery books that are, like, down a little bit. And his are, like, the best. They're holy
Keep thing. Our eyes peeled.
It's a beautiful experience. So, what are you reading right now?
We are reading the same.
That is true.
All Good People Here by Ashley Flowers.
That is true.
So we are trying to get that done. And I think once I get that done, I'm going to try to pump out Someday Maybe, that debut I've been reading. I put that down so we could read some other things. But if I can get those two done in the next few days, I'm solid for my Goodreads challenge.
Yeah, so, I'm trying to finish All Good People Here by Ashley Flowers as well. And then I also started and hoping to finish to complete my Goodreads challenge, Meet Me in Another Life by Catriona Sylvie. So I had to close the book at page like 65 and hug my husband and sob.
Oh, isn't it good so far?
It is good, but I don't like it. It's crying. Because
The husband died.
The husband died, yeah. So like at that part when she was talking about like, oh, we got 10 years together and she's like angry that she like invested her time and her heart into the situation where she knew that like it may never, and the part where it was like her husband needed to go get testing done and she was like, well, this is it.
Yeah.
I knew that something bad was going to happen. I knew that there was going to be something. I was like, that's how my brain works where I'm just kind of anticipating something. So it made me very sad.
I can't wait to hear what you think of it. It's excellent. And I'm glad you own it because it's worth it.
Yeah, well, I'm excited as well. So thank you guys so much for this another year of listening to Litsis. This was the fourth full year of Litsis.
Crazy.
Very exciting. Excited to see what 2023 brings. And
we got some new stuff coming out too.
Yeah,
so keep your eyes peeled.
All right, you guys. So thank you so much for taking a break from reading. Now go flip some pages.